Hello and welcome to the December edition of the Adoption Star podcast. My name is Alex Rubin. I'm the e-marketing coordinator at Adoption Star, and thank you for tuning in. So we have Michael Hill here from Adoption Star. He is our Infant Adoption Awareness Training Project Lead. So why don't we just start with what is the Infant Adoption Awareness Training Program and what is its role?
Sure. Well, the Infant Adoption Awareness Training Project is a federally funded initiative. Specifically, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services pays for the program. It's an educational opportunity for healthcare or helping professionals in that it teaches them a lot of important basic information about infant adoption. Very helpful when interacting with a person who may be in the midst of an unexpected or unintended pregnancy and is not sure they want to parent the child. So The training and the project are really focused on giving healthcare and helping professionals the tools they need to sensitively, confidently, and intelligently talk about the option of adoption should their patient or client express an interest in learning more about the concept.
And why is it so important for these professionals to learn about that? Is that something where maybe it's lacking a little bit today?
That's a good question, Alex. Yeah, I mean, it's a situation where the research that was done leading up to ultimately the creation of this program was very interesting. It took a look at options counseling and healthcare and helping professionals. And when a woman is in the midst of an unexpected or unintended pregnancy, there are basically three options available to her. She can choose to parent the child, so you know, carry the child to term and parent. She could choose to carry the child to term and make an adoption plan, or she could choose to terminate the pregnancy. And what the research uncovered is that healthcare and helping professionals were very readily able to talk about termination. They were very readily able to talk about parenting. But when it came to adoption, they didn't feel as comfortable or as confident talking about that option. And it's not because they didn't want to. It's because they themselves didn't feel well educated. They were concerned that they were going to give misinformation, inaccurate information. So as opposed to making a mistake, they just didn't talk about it extensively. And as a result, we found that sometimes options counseling wasn't delivered on a completely level or equal playing field in terms of all options being discussed with the same amount of time and attention. So hence the creation of this program. We're kind of in the business, so to speak, to help ensure that options counseling is ethical across the board and all options are presented in an equal manner.
So what can people who attend this training expect to learn from it?
The training itself, before I get into the subject matter for the training, Alex, the training can be delivered in a couple of different time frames. We can do a two-day training, a one-day training, or a half-day training. So interested parties can really choose a time frame that works best for them and their schedule and their needs. But regardless of the chosen time frame, the training is pretty uniform in terms of the topic areas. Mm-hmm. The training talks about adoption law and practice in New York State, talks about birth father's rights and responsibilities, talks about special issues in counseling teens. It talks about social and cultural influences when it comes to adoption planning. There's a big section that talks about non-directive, non-coercive counseling techniques. That's very important when you're providing options counseling to patients. There's a lot of resource material and referral information that's given. That's just a little bit about kind of the subject matter as it relates to the training.
Okay. So, Michael, what does your role entail with the Infant Adoption Awareness Training Project?
The Infant Adoption Awareness Training Project is actually a national initiative, so it exists in all 50 states across the country. My role is very New York State specific. Mm-hmm. So I'm what's called the project lead, and I work exclusively in New York State. So any interested individual or interested organization that's within the New York State kind of boundaries, within the state lines, if they're interested in the training, I'm the one that basically markets it, coordinates it, and delivers it for them. So it's my role is very New York State specific. I have colleagues all over the country kind of handling states that they reside in. But again, I'm responsible for marketing, delivery of the training, coordination, setup, all the logistics, kind of the behind the scenes work and both setting up and delivering a training. That's my role.
Okay. So the project started in 2000 and you've been working on with the agency for a few years now. So what has the perception changed? How has the perception changed of adoption since the project started and with medical professionals and in general?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I find when I finish a training and have an opportunity to talk to the folks that were in attendance, which I'm able to do pretty much every training I attend, it's always really rewarding to hear from people who say things like, adoption has changed so much. I had no idea how different today's adoption would be when compared and contrasted to the concept of adoption mm-hmm. as it existed 20, 30 years ago. And in some circumstances, you could, for example, be training a nurse that's been working in a hospital for 25, 30 years. And what she came in understanding about adoption as maybe a 25-year-old is dramatically different. Fast forward 3 decades, let's say she's 55, she comes to one of our trainings. I mean, what has transpired in the field of adoption over that period, that 30-year period? It's amazing, the changes as mm-hmm. it relates to things like open adoption, transracial adoption, special needs adoption, birth parent rights. I mean, so much has changed. So I think sometimes there's this tendency to hang on to the information about a concept when it was introduced to you maybe in college or in grad school, and you just kind of take that as fact and you don't think about it changing. Well, adoption, like most concepts, is not static. It doesn't exist in a vacuum. It's dynamic. It's mm-hmm. constantly evolving and changing. And so it's great that healthcare professionals who maybe haven't had an opportunity to really learn about adoption changes come to our training, and they get so thoroughly educated and have such a better understanding of what adoption is all about in this day and age. And that's key. That's pivotal because, again, the people who attend the training are the very folks that are regularly interacting with pregnant people who may have an interest in adoption. Mm-hmm. So for professionals to be able to give accurate information, answer questions effectively, that's a huge benefit to them. And that's really rewarding to hear a healthcare professional saying, I feel so much better equipped to talk about this as a result of coming to the training. And we hear that time and time again. So really rewarding to hear that.
So you market and you put together all of these trainings. What type of work goes into the typical training that you put together?
Yeah, once an organization contacts me and expresses an interest in a training, what we typically do for them, well, first and foremost, we try to make the process of setting up a training as easy on them as it possibly can. So I try to basically take all the workload off of them and onto mm-hmm. my own shoulders. If an organization's interested in a training, we don't want them to be bogged down with logistics and details. I'm really kind of here to handle all that stuff. So what do we typically do? Well, number one, the federal government has helped the project develop a fantastic website, so we can actually do all of our training registration online, which is great. So there's no paper for people right. to have to kind of manage and handle. And the sign-up process is totally self-driven. So someone can go online and sign themselves up.
Mm-hmm.
I find a trainer, you know, so I basically match a training opportunity with one of our certified trainers. So I take care of kind of matching trainers with training opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
I will develop a sign-in sheet. I will develop certificate of completion for each person that comes to our training. The training, I should also mention, Alex, is totally free. So there is no cost for the training for any interested individual or organization, which is fantastic to be able to
right.
offer, you know, a high quality training at no cost to interested parties.
And there's also the free meal.
That's right. As an attendee, a former
yes.
attendee yourself, you remember this. We do provide some refreshments to people that attend our training at no charge as well. The other thing, too, that we handle for folks, the training has been fully credentialed and approved by a host of national professional organizations. For example, the American College of Nurse Midwives has accredited our training. The National Board of Certified Counselors has accredited our training. The National Association of Social Work has accredited our training, and so has the American Nurses Credentialing Center's Commission on Accreditation. So what does that mean? Basically what that means is that all kinds of healthcare professionals, nurses, midwives, social workers, and counselors, to name a few,
mm-hmm.
can get educational credits towards their licenses.
Okay.
So, and And also, those contact hours, as they're called, or sometimes CEUs, as they're called, they're totally free. So people can come to our training, show a certificate of completion to one of these national mm-hmm. entities, and they can get professional development credits, educational credits, which they need to have as a part of their, you know, year-to-year existence when it comes to maintaining their professional licenses. So that's another great advantage to the training. You can come and get some professional credits, again, at no charge.
Okay,
so,
great.
So yeah, there's some work involved in terms of details and setting everything up. But again, I handle that. It's not a burden to the organization that's
right.
interested, and I think staff get a lot out of participation for sure.
Now, you're also an adoptive father. How does your role as adoptive father correlate with your role working in adoption with an adoption agency with adoption programs?
Well, that's really been an interesting surprise to me. I mean, even my employment here, I should say, is perhaps an interesting surprise. I actually was a client of Adoption Stars before I ever became an employee. And it was really just kind of dumb luck that I even wound up here. I was home with my son for 3 months after he was initially born. I went back to a job that really just couldn't give me the flexibility I was looking for in terms of being at home with my son a little bit more frequently. So I wound up leaving that job, taking a couple months off to be home with him again full time, but also kind of keeping my eye out for an appropriate part-time job. And lo and behold, something opened up with the very adoption agency that I utilized to adopt mm-hmm. my son. So it's pretty amazing the twists and turns that life can take.
Sure.
But having that personal experience with adoption, it's really wonderful to be able to now professionally share my experiences as someone who's gone through the process and who, as you said, is an adoptive father. I'm able to utilize some of my own experiences, some of my own stories to illustrate points that are addressed in the training itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been really fascinating to be on both sides of the coin, so to speak, you know, kind of having been a client of an agency and now working for an agency. I'm able to talk about, I think, both perspectives on adoption in a very comprehensive way as a result of being on both sides of the coin, so to speak.
Okay, so Michael, if a organization is looking to host a training, how would they go about contacting you to set it up?
There's a couple of different ways to reach me. If you prefer telephone, you can call me here at Adoption Star at area code 716-639-3900. If you prefer email, my email address is a simple one. It's Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, at adoptionstar.com, and adoptionstar appears as all one word in my email address. So if you give me a call or drop me an email, just explain who you are, where you're contacting me from, so in other words, the organization you work for, and once I have that basic information, I can start to work with you via email or telephone to get a training on the calendar and booked and sorted and taken care of.
For more information on the Infant Adoption Awareness Training Project, just go to our website, www.adoptionstar.com, click on the Community Professionals link, and then click on the tab for the Infant Adoption Awareness Training Project. There, you'll be able to find more information on the project, find out how to contact Michael, and also learn how to host or attend a seminar. Our next podcast will be focused on fetal alcohol syndrome. I will be speaking with Helen Weinstein, who is the coordinator of the Fetal Alcohol and Drug Effects Program of the Erie County Council for the Prevention of Alcohol and Substance Abuse. Stay tuned for more updates on when this will be published, and we look forward to bringing it to you. Until next time, thanks for listening.
list of organizations that might be eligible, it makes more sense to talk about the professions that are best suited. So again, social workers, mental health professionals, physicians, nurse midwives, nurses, these are the folks that are best suited for the training.
Okay.